Government Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. We've got a great guest lined up. I know people all over the world are tuned in this evening. We're going to bring him on momentarily. Here we are now, September the 16th on the West Coast, now September the 17th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would also like to welcome all those folks around the world, especially in the U.S. military, listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and all the folks on blogtalkradio.com, whether you're listening live or in an archive that may be playing later on in the day in your part of the world. Lots going on. We seem to have made some headway in this bird flu pandemic saga. We're going to talk a little bit about that, possibly. Also, we're going to be talking about some of the lawsuits that are being heard in court and dismissed, sort of shoved out the door like pancakes at that international place where they make pancakes. They seem to be able to shuffle the papers out as fast as they go in, finding loopholes, and I had made a prediction during the past 2 weeks, several times, that these lawsuits are going to be thrown out as frivolous or deficient in the technical legalities that allow these things to be heard. And I have suspicions about certain people playing these roles. Obviously, they have been able to twist the language and the outcomes of a particular case that has been repeatedly and erroneously reported to have occurred in the state of Texas. It was actually in Georgia, and it was the case of Captain Connie Rhodes, who is a medical doctor in the U.S. Army, not Air Force, has been reported. Some have said Marines. This case and some of the other cases are very suspicious in terms of who some of these litigants are, the improper designation of their military rank, their branch of the military, and lack of signatures and those types of anomalies, something that any serious attorney or lawyer would not do in such an important case. So that brings us to tonight's guest. This person is rapidly becoming known around the world for his broadcasts. He hosts his own radio show Monday through Friday, and it's called The Manning Report. It airs from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday out of his own studio. I pick it up on Ustream. It's an excellent broadcast, excellent program, lots of great input from his listening audience. Occasionally, he's got some great guests on there. I've even called into the show a couple of times. And he is also the founder of ATLA Worldwide Ministries in Harlem, New York City, state of New York. And he has nicknamed the usurper in the White House the long-legged Mac Daddy. That's his term. I welcome to the show for the first time on Evident Footprints, Pastor James David Manning, Ph.D. Pastor Manning, welcome to the show.
Thank you so very much, Don, for having me. I'm delighted to be on your show. You've been on our broadcast on a couple of times, and it was always very exciting. And, of course, you've got such a large and very interesting audience on the Evident Footprints, and so it's just a real joy to share with you tonight. Now, you had opened up with some things regarding, I believe, the lawsuits regarding the long-legged Mac Daddy and perhaps mm-hmm. the folk that are filing those suits. And you've got an interesting twist on that, and I'm very interested to know perhaps, I know that you've got me on as your guest, and I want to be as much of a guest as I possibly can, but I definitely want to pick your brain. for the information that you have, because you seem to be going in a direction that most of us are not aware of with respect to these lawsuits. And, of course, there are probably other things that we want to talk about as well that you might want to, you know, have on your broadcast here today. But could you, you know, now are you saying that these lawsuits that we're talking with respect to the perhaps suits that are filed by Attorney Tate's and questioning and challenging the constitutional eligibility of the long-legged Mac Daddy, Barack Hussein Obama, that's who people generally refer to him as, I have given him another name, his eligibility to serve as president? Are you saying those lawsuits are being mishandled, that they're being improperly filed? Just what were you opening up with in your introduction statements?
Yeah, I'm sort of saying all of that. And if I may preface that on the basis of my research, my serial research articles that have been published in the Idaho Observer and on my own website, I started a piece in early 2008 called The Three Stooges Go to Washington. Parts one and two were on John McCain's ineligibility to run as president of the United States. He was not born in a hospital that was built 7 years after his birth.
Okay.
Case closed there. Why does Congress and the Senate need to authorize that or verify that by putting their
official staff? Well, the Senate put forth a resolution, did they not, trying to validate McCain's eligibility to serve as a possible president? They did that in June of 2008, I believe.
Yes. So late June, I think it was around the 25th, 26th, something like that. I'm pretty good with dates, but that wasn't one that I stamped into my memory. Merely because it was, in my estimation, it was a fraudulent act that they committed under great duress, probably under extortion, blackmail, threats, those sorts of things. Now, Barack Obama, parts 3 through 7B, has been a genealogical journey revealing the fraudulent nature of a dialectical argument based on the fact, and I've heard you make these comments too, you're right on point, which is what drew me to your message. We've been given this Wizard of Oz type story of a family born in Kansas, same place Dorothy Gale was born. And a white mother and a black father from Africa. Although the nomenclature used in the Hawaiian birth certificate, in both birth certificates that were presented to us, there's only one real birth certificate, and we haven't seen a legitimate certificate of live birth with signatures and all that. We've seen typewritten documents, forged backgrounds, forged paper stock, altered documents which negate the documents completely. It says so right at the bottom of the certificate. If altered, it's
invalid.
Negated. It's invalid.
Right.
Yes. That's the terminology. No race is described as African. Okay. Africa is a continent. Okay. That would be like saying your race is Antarctican. Okay.
Yes.
Or, end of argument there. Okay. I began to see the Hegelian dialectic by studying both the quotes made in Dreams from My Father, which five forensic analytical companies in the computer industry analyzed the syntax of the language, the writing style, and the facts, and basically came to the conclusion that William Ayers was likely the author of that book.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. Now, what's the dates? I would believe that, because I don't believe that Obama wrote those books. But William Ayers, the computer-generated consensus would state that he, by his style, that would have been his writing. His book.
The language, the use of words, the use of punctuation, and the places it was used. I mean, there is a common accepted way to use grammar. But the red flags kept coming up that this is the style of William Ayers. Now, who is he? He's one of the founders of the Weather Underground, along with Bernadine Dorn, once the FBI's most wanted, you know, going back to the 60s and the 70s. And this is tied to numerous cross-national or across-the-nation terrorist organizations. The Black Panthers was another one. Is it a coincidence that Hillary Clinton represented the Black Panthers in court? So we have all these Chicago ties to organized crime and the real terrorists.
Go back to the birth certificate for just a moment?
Yes.
Regarding there is a Hawaiian certificate of live birth that does not validate. It does not have any signatures, hospital, or actual street or place where allegedly Barack Hussein Obama was born. Now, how would you? And this is the question of the century for me. How would you estimate or guess that in the event that a court action forced them to release whatever was in terms of a legitimate piece of paper or document in a vault regarding Obama's birth, what would you think that piece of paper will say? I mean, the Hawaiian Department of Health states that they've seen the birth certificate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is really just a bogus, I suppose, put off of all of us who want to see the original copy. But what do you, Don, think that statement says right now in that vault? What do you think is in that vault?
Nothing. You want my answer?
Nothing.
Okay. Or
why
if
would
there
the
is anything in another fictitious
why would document. Why would the Department of Health, Secretary of Health in Hawaii, state that they have seen, under the possibility of perjury, criminal perjury, and misleading the people of the United States, if indeed a court order was determined that information must be brought forward, and you say there's nothing there?
There's nothing there. The term they used, sealed, is a satanic reference. They seal their documents. They seal their ceremonies. They seal their rituals. That's actually the language right there that Satanists use. Now, what you're in essence asking me.
Seal is also a biblical term and a term of authority with respect to the power of Jesus to Christ. You know that as well.
Amen. Yes, I know that, but these are not Christians we're talking about. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, we have plenty of evidence that there's a dialectical situation going on there, too.
You say there's nothing in that vault.
You have a birth certificate claimed to be in Hawaii, and you don't have Obama coming out saying, well, this birth certificate in Kenya has to be bogus because my real one is in Hawaii. You've not heard him say that. You've heard his representative say this, you see. And now if we get into, let me just say this. By revealing what is in Hawaii, we will halt a coup, a takeover of the U.S. government by a communist, fascist, Zionist dictatorship. Okay, so that's what is at risk.
Wait a minute. You said communist, fascist, and Zionist. The three do not blend.
Yeah, well, they do when you have Rockefellers behind them. You do, because at every step of the way, the Rockefellers are associated with this.
All right, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Okay, now my next conclusion or my next deduction was if all the documents that I have seen are fraudulent and forged, and I can compare Stanley Ann's alleged signatures in her high school yearbook with the documents in Indonesia, and it's not the same writing style. Okay, I have eyes, I have a mind, I have a soul. I'm a spiritual being, and I'm a truth seeker, and I can look at those signatures and tell you they were not written by the same person. Okay, now.
Well, you go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay, so if, let's say in general, all the documents we've seen have been fraudulent. All of them. They've all been fraudulent. The lines don't match up. The papers are always turned crooked, askewed. The fonts don't match. If they've been done with a typewriter, they have these bad keys. I mean, who would use a typewriter that was malfunctioning for such important documents? They would use a typewriter that worked. They put a new ribbon in it. I mean, the thing would work. It's just ridiculous. It's obfuscation. Papers folded in impossible folds, which shows that they've actually compiled images and manipulated images. Lines, when you magnify these documents, the lines all of a sudden separate, which would not occur under real physical circumstances. So they're altered documents. They're fraudulent. They're forged. Now, the African photos and the Punahou School photos and the New York City photos in Central Park are all compilations. And I've become somewhat of an expert at analyzing these photos, and I've written whole articles and piece by piece describing.
You mean with respect to the photos he's taken with his grandparents in Central Park?
And his mother, and his even Lolo Satoru's picture in allegedly in Indonesia is a compilation. When you study it carefully, it's actually a color photo. It's actually in color, but they changed it to black and white so to hide some of these anomalies that appear. When you magnify the pictures pixelate at points where it's unnatural. Shadows move in different directions. Shadows exist where they shouldn't exist, and shadows are absent where they should be. Okay? These are compilations. There's a send-off picture for Barack Obama Sr., supposedly at the airport, with 20 lays around his neck. And when I altered the coloration and the drive of the picture, changing contrast, he turned into a white man. Yet the black man, the black sailor in the front of the picture, became darker. That's a pure red flag that image was inserted into the picture under certain different circumstances. It was it had different characteristics. When I apply the same filter to the whole picture, he stuck out like a sore thumb. That's in my article. You can see it for yourself. All I did was change the drive.
We have to then conclude that this has been a planned event for more than 40 years.
Yes, yes. Now, I came to the conclusion that the so-called disappearance of Michael Rockefeller in Indonesia, where I suspected Obama was always from in the beginning, that Rockefeller's death was faked because they were going to use him as the bloodline seed of Barack Obama on the paternal side of the family. Okay, we're talking about the people that funded the Rockefeller Foundation for Human Studies. This goes way back to John D. Rockefeller's time and his quest to create beings, hybrid beings. And
what would be the ultimate goal? I mean, all the photos, each one of those photos, I'm analyzing in my mind as you described them, in the pixels and the various ways in which the colors have either been diluted or been added or. And I've seen those photos. I'm going to re-examine those now after receiving this extremely interesting evidence that you have. But now, here, what would be the objective? Because simply with Rockefeller money, you can buy campaigns, you can buy judges, you can buy votes, you can do what the Kennedys did, what Joe Kennedy did back in 1962 with his son, John, bought off the Chicago Mayor Daley, that actually gave Kennedy the presidency. So why go through this protracted genealogy of the Rockefellers to take over the seat of the presidency? Why? I mean, mind you, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not doubting you. I'm not saying that you're wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm asking the question, well, there's got to be a motive. Why? Because there are easier ways of doing what has been done other than this protracted, if you will, super sleuth, if you must, genealogy that to bringing about and to bear this impossible, if you will, candidate. Why? What will be the
great
motive?
Great question, and I asked myself that in the very beginning, and as I went along, I saw myself getting closer to that answer, and I'll try to summarize it in as few words as possible. You can bribe presidents, you can bribe politicians. They'll sometimes do your bidding, sometimes they'll give you a hard time, but it was always their intention. They failed getting Nelson Rockefeller into the presidency, although he did become vice president. Nelson Rockefeller's son was Michael Rockefeller. They faked his death, and I proved this by photographic evidence and by examining the stories and the follow-up obfuscation, the follow-up propaganda to protect that. Do you know this fall they're coming out with a movie about the disappearance of Michael Rockefeller. Frazier Heston, Charlton Heston's son, is putting that film out. Now, why? Why after 1961? Well, this is more of this in-your-face stuff. They have created someone from their bloodline, and they're actually, if you talk to people who have studied eugenics and the DNA experiments, the manipulation that's going on with cloning and all of these things, they have an obsession, especially David Rockefeller, has an obsession with Egyptology and those ancient times. Those were times when basically the most powerful ruler of the world was the pharaoh in Egypt.
Yeah.
And this goes into all the mystical arts, the mystic schools, alchemy, and the dark side, all those mysteries. This is to create a being who's going to represent really the antithesis of God, the antithesis of Jesus Christ. And they're calling him a Messiah. I mean, you yourself.
I'm very much aware of that. I've dealt with that on a number of various speeches that I've given about it. And in fact, it's pretty much a daily observance of mine, that, of his Messiah likeness.
Yes. This possibly gives the Rockefellers some power over the Rothschilds as well. You see, because they've always been under the thumb of the Rothschilds. And so, you know, this is a very complex issue. We could spend a 3-hour show talking just about the answer to your question. But most of my research sort of brings all of that together. It connects the dots. What we've been witnessing, and you have to admit this, and anyone who's been paying attention to this argument between Hawaii and Kenya, we're looking at a dialectical argument intended to divide us and misdirect us by looking in the wrong places for the wrong reasons. They created two lies, and they promoted two lies, and they're still promoting the lies. They brought it into the court to give us false hope. Okay? Now,
are you now saying that the cases that have been brought before the courts have been brought by the same conspirators that have originated this mystical person that we're now trying to discover who he is?
Well, they're affiliated in some way. Yeah.
Excuse me?
Pardon me. I didn't mean to interrupt you. We had a delay. I thought you were finished. Go ahead.
No. That we're not looking at an adversarial. We're actually looking at just more deception in these court proceedings. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Yes, because the lawsuits are so deficient of even average legal competence and procedure that they have to be thrown out. It's a guarantee that they'll be thrown out, because you're asking the court to verify a lie without bringing the truth forward. You see, they're both lies. Both are lies. They're exaggerations. And I prove that. Part 7 of my series really shows documentation that Stanley Ann Dunham cannot be the mother of Barack Obama, because her father, Stanley Armour Dunham, and the mother, Madeline Dunham, were not who they claimed they were. And I prove they were spies. And I show how they brought them into the country and how they became affiliated with the Bank of Hawaii. That was one of their bases. Seattle, Mercer Island was another base. San Francisco today is one of their strongholds. And, of course, Chicago has always been the hub of organized crime in this country, along with New York. You have the associations now with the UN. Who gave the UN property in the building to the UN? It was the Rockefellers, okay?
Yes.
So you have that control, and then they have this man who brings about the New World Order by causing the collapse of the United States of America, the Republic.
Now, can I ask you to just pause right there? One is that, then where are we going with this? Will your evidence and all others who are interested and who understand that there has been a great crime perpetrated against the American people and this republic, will we be successful in stopping this, or will we fail and a new world order will be put in place? What is your resolve of that?
I feel we are going to stop it, and I feel that you play a major role in that, which is one reason why I wanted to have you on this show, is to talk about the message that you've been putting out, that we need to come together as Americans and as members of humanity. We need to come together to fight the evil that we're fighting, the lies and the deception and the perversions and all that. You talk about it very eloquently. My audience gets to hear me talk about it. But I know, I mean, you called out. Well, I know there's white folk out there that are fed up with this. And we need to come together.
And they are.
I offer myself to them.
Yes,
I want to be part of that movement.
Because it is the movement of truth. It is the movement that is established that anyone in their right mind would want to definitely be a part of. And it's a growing movement. And it will not be squashed. There's no way you can quash this movement that's now growing in response to this perpetration, this evil that has taken itself into the presidency of our nation in Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, it will not stand. There's no way possible it can stand. But it's interesting that then if we don't have, because if what I'm, and I'm going to need to read your theses in terms of its literal form rather than just talking about it here tonight, I need to have a copy of it. Because if you're stating that we don't even have an advocate for us to represent in court, that the court papers that have been filed have all been filed by the same conspirators that have put together this person who is illegally occupying the White House, then this is crucial information.
Yes. Can I insert something related to your question about Orly Tate? And this will make sense. May I do that?
Yeah, go ahead. Go right ahead, of course.
And then you hold on to your thought. Orly Tate, in my estimation, is playing a role in this, but I feel that she's being highly influenced by Israel. She's working on behalf of Israel. Now, I discovered in the process of looking for a connection to Israel, I discovered that her husband, Yosef Tate, runs a company called Daylight Chemical Information Systems in Mission Viejo, so she must know what he does for a living. And this is a computer software company that developed a Descartes software to run concurrently with the Oracle 8i technology. He's been working with Novartis at least since July 14th of 2000. Novartis is the patent holder of the bird flu vaccine. Isn't that a striking coincidence that they're ramming this bird flu pandemic down our throat, and her husband works hand in hand with Novartis, doing the genetic sequencing via computers?
Extremely interesting.
I have an article on my website.
Bird flu.
To that effect.
But are you referring to the H1N1, the previous swine flu that you're referring to, calling bird flu?
Well, it's a bird swine human flu combination with the dangerous adjuvants added in there. And this Jane Burgermeister lawsuit and Tim Vodder, there were misrepresentations there. They're tied to Affymetrix. Tim Vodder is. Affymetrix is the genome chip manufacturer in Santa Clara, California. I discovered that investigating Tim Vodder's lawsuit, which has been filed under fraudulent pretenses. So these lawsuits give us false hope. We have lawsuits about the birth certificate, lawsuits about the pandemic, but they're fraudulent in nature.
Right.
The claims being made about them are fraudulent.
Just a second, because I want to consider this from every possible angle as I feed this into my speeches about where this matter is going. If the lawsuits, if they are deficient, would not the Supreme Court understand that the lawsuits are deficient and that a fraud is being perpetrated on the court to keep the American people from actually filing adequate and lawsuits that would indeed be valid lawsuits? Would not the Supreme Court realize this, and unless they're part of a conspiracy?
Well, I would say it appears that they're part of a conspiracy, if you'd ask my opinion, but these are not even in the Supreme Court. These are in district courts.
Well, yeah, well, Orley Tate has filed before the Supreme Court. Philip Berg has gone before the Supreme Court. Leo D'Onofrio and Court Ranofsky. These are all cases that basically are fairly similar to the ones that Tate is now filing in Georgia and in California. But the Tate has filed before the U.S. Supreme Court. I forget now exactly what the premise of that case was and how it was represented. But yeah. I do know four cases have been heard by the Supreme Court, or at least have been reviewed by the Supreme Court, by D'Onofrio, Ranofsky, Court Ranofsky, Philip Berg, and did I say Orley Tate?
Yeah,
anyway, there have been four cases.
Well, she claims that, but that case has not been heard before the Supreme Court. Now, let me just say this, that when these cases are readily or routinely dismissed on the basis of no standing, then they're playing legal maneuvers with words. They're using the language itself to defeat the purpose of these lawsuits. These are constitutional issues. The Constitution is left out, and they're saying you have no legal standing. And it's maybe a coincidence, but the federal filing of Barack Obama by the Democratic National Committee excludes the constitutional provision in that document. They took it out. It's lacking from the Minnesota document after the convention, the Denver document. Excuse me, it was a Republican Party that was in Minnesota. The Denver, yeah. Colorado document does not have a reference that he is constitutionally eligible. They say he's legally eligible. So when this goes to court, they say, you do not have legal standing. This is just semantics with words, with language. The issue is that there's a constitutional provision that he is born a natural-born citizen of the United States. These aren't the parents. My argument is these aren't even the parents. Why did they promote this so heavily in the media?
Now, when you say these aren't the parents, you've raised two issues of parents. Whether you're talking about Madeline Dunham and Stanley Dunham as parents, or are you talking about Barack Obama Senior, if you will, and Stanley and Dunham? Which group are you? Which pair are you referring to? They're not the parents.
Well, Stanley Ann Dunham is the alleged mother of Barack Obama.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we know that.
Okay. She was not in Hawaii at the time they claimed she was in Hawaii having this baby. She showed all the signs. She was given a baby, is what I deduce. She was made a surrogate.
Then who would be the parent? Who would be the mother of Obama?
Yeah, well, that's in my writing. We get into eugenics at that point. We get into eugenics, and there's a strong argument for that. You really got to read it, because there are many accredited scientists that agree with my conclusions.
No, I'll have to read it. I haven't read it. I'll have to.
Yeah,
read it.
You'll have to read it. It dispels the dialectical argument, you see, and it brings you right to the point. I have a lot of follow-up research that I'm going to be adding to this that sort of underscores everything and even connects the dots even more. This is not a theory. Why would you fake the death of a rich person, one of the wealthiest people on the planet? Why would that death be faked? And I prove it's a fake. You have to really read it and study the photos and the analysis.
I definitely have to. I should have read these your papers before we had our interview tonight. That definitely should have taken place, because it leaves me at a disadvantage to fully discuss these critical issues that are pivotal for the of understanding where we're going, and of course trying to also understand and determine the battle as well. Mm-hmm. So I think we probably need to reschedule.
Let me say this. This interview is not lost. We haven't destroyed it, because my intention was really to, be able to voice some of my concerns in this regard, not in this detail, but to approach this. Let's imagine that I'm right about this, or at least you're convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that there's a game going on between Hawaii and Kenya, and we've all fallen you know, hook, line, and sinker for this ruse.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. Everybody knows that.
Okay, so we know that. Okay, now I know my listening audience would love to hear your thoughts about Barack Obama. What has happened to our country? What is happening to our country? And what solutions you see in bringing the people together as a united force, which is the opposite of what they're doing to us right now?
Well, I see the conspiracy theory that you've raised as being viable, more than possible, but I see it going, having a deeper root. My first observation of Barack Obama, going back to the early days of 2007, I became acutely aware of him. Being a pastor and being a man who has been so for the last 27 years, spiritually a man of prayer, and having a spiritual understanding, and by that I mean that for me to operate spiritually, and I don't mean any hocus-pocus way, but for me to operate spiritually is as common as my operation naturally. I fully and wholly embrace the understanding that there is a spiritual world. I understand that clearly. More specifically, anyone else who would think about this for just a moment would understand it as well. And within the context of that spiritual world, there are the elements of good and evil, and they are dominant, and they are described in a plethora of ways. But there's good and there's evil, and then this spiritual world that exists then impacts or influences the world physically that we understand and that we can verify, that we can empirically observe. My observation of Obama was that his roots are deep spiritual evil, the likes of which we've never really seen on this planet before. And he has come to manifest what I believe Jesus prophesied to be, as one who would present a false Messiah, a false Christ, a false fulfiller, a false solver of all of the world's ills, all of its problems, and make the world a place of peace. This would be a false assumption that the inhabitants of this planet would assume, and that they would attribute that the person who came, that Jesus was speaking about, would be able to fulfill this. Barack Hussein Obama is indeed that person. I'm convinced of that. Now, What you're doing, your level of this, is that you are then putting the physical aspect to it, whether it was the Rockefellers faking of the death of a son, the money aspect of it, the power aspect of it, the deception of where the birth took place, the implanting of this person into a family who did not give birth but did indeed raise. That's the physical aspect. I take it back to the beginning, where its roots lie in the spiritual aspect, and of course spiritually evil, and as evil as power as you can possibly find. That's how I interpret who he is and what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's one thing, Don, for the Rockefellers to be involved in this, and for all of these other conspirators in a physical way to manifest, no problem. But and you could talk about eugenics and human design. I completely agree. I completely agree. But ultimately, what we see in the response of people to Obama, you will have to say that even David Rockefeller himself and others would not have been able to garner that kind of response, that worshipful, if you will, appeal that Obama has, that people are willing to just give themselves wholly over to him. That comes from the root that I'm discussing.
Okay, I'm in agreement. In fact, that's the part of your message that turns me on, is I agree with that. And I'm also on your side in that respect. My listening audience will tell you that.
Oh, okay. I understand that. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I certainly clearly would not argue that you're not.
Yeah.
But that's where, and that's what gives me my tenacity. That's what, and
yes.
I'm clear about that. I mean, it isn't, and again, going back to, if you would ask the average person to at least observe and give some idea as to whether or not they think that good and evil does exist. You may not want to believe in God in a traditional sense. You may not want to believe in the devil in a traditional sense. But there is no escaping the spiritual aspect of our being. And once a person is willing to accept or at least acknowledge that, then it is from that spiritual that we then, well, at least for I then clearly understand that the spiritual is far more powerful than the physical or the natural, if you will.
Yes, yes.
And in that, but here, Obama is demonstrating a kind of power that has not been demonstrated in American politics or in American religion. We've never seen him demonstrate this, but talking with you and understanding your base for physically describing his advent, there are powers, and you're continuing to push your part of the discovery of evidence about him, and my continuing to push weakens him. He can be destroyed simply by your continuing to push the kind of evidence you're pushing and pushing it into the hearts and minds of people. Weakens him in a spiritual way, because there's a verse, Don, that Jesus talks about with respect to the light. See, I don't have to put a hand on Obama. I don't have to put my finger on him. I don't have to look in that empty vault in Hawaii and see nothing, or either go to Kenya and Mombasa and have some birth certificate verified. Just simply turn on the light. To speak as I do puts a light on him that weakens him. That once the light is shown, and the light gets stronger now as a result of my talk with you here. But turning that light on weakens him. Are you understanding what I'm expressing?
Absolutely, I'm on the same page. Absolutely,
it weakens
and
you are
so right. We are witnessing the ultimate spiritual confrontation this planet has ever seen. Now, it may have occurred in other ages.
Well, that's a great way of putting it. I wish I'd put it that way myself.
Yeah, but, well, it just came out that way. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit, you know. Often, the Holy Spirit speaks through me, and my listening audience lets me know when they hear that. And I approach this show, and I approach my research. Having a musical background, I shared this with you off the air. My listeners know I'm a professional musician, music composer, but it's my ability to connect the dots that I know. I'm convinced that God has asked me to go into an area with which I was totally unfamiliar, but very discerning and understanding the spiritual implications you're talking about and the gravity of the situation, that I could use my ability to connect the music dots and transmute that into fact, debunking the history that we've been given. We've been lied to about everything, and we can't depend on the media. I've heard you say this too. They lie to us. So when do you expect them to start telling the truth? When they're on the scaffolds? Or in the electric chair, or in the prisons, or whatever happens to them? I think God's going to deal with them. I really do.
Well, there's no doubt about it. But if we continue to pursue the truth about this matter, the media will not be the ones that will give it up. I think the other thing that we have to come to terms with, and you'll be able to understand this as well, there are many people within the structure of media and government who just do not have the intellectual strength to even know the truth. Many people that are in politics and in the media are driven by their carnality. They're driven by greed. They're driven by lust. And they do not have, flowing in their ability to interpret and understand, they do not have the ability to think in a truthful and a justful way. They are so corrupt. Their eyes are so darkened. What I'm trying to say, in another way, is that they don't have the capacity to either know the truth or even care about the truth. The only thing they have the capacity to do is to be greedy, to be seekers of power, to be lustful, and to be evil. To convert them to be righteous, or to convert them to be seekers of truth, or to convert them to be people of nobility was not impossible, but it sure is as close as it can possibly be to being impossible. Media, politicians, these people are walking in darkness. They may garner the spotlight. They may even say some things that resonate with truth, but they themselves can't interpret it. They just are unable to understand or interpret the world in a spiritual way, or they're not able to interpret the world in a way of righteousness. They're just there in the spotlight, and the world is watching them, but trust me, they're probably children in our Sunday school that's got more integrity, understanding than these people you see, like these so-called big-time news people or politicians.
Yes. I often, Pastor, tell my listening audience, and I share this with guests too, we have 10 commandments, 10 laws given to us by God, our Creator, our Father, and we have 23 million laws that man has given us in America alone. Which ones of those 23 million are we supposed to follow, and at what times? How are we to know what those 23 million laws are? Wouldn't it be easier to follow the 10, you see?
Well,
what we're witnessing is the intentional dichotomy of the Creator. These people themselves are playing God. But they're doing it exactly the opposite of the way the universe was created by God. Their method is not creation. It's not love. It's not life and abundance for all of creation. It's the opposite. It's destruction. It's death.
There's no doubt about it. Everything that they do is destruction.
Yes. Yes. I'd like you to comment on that, because, you know, we know that this is going on, but this is not fear-mongering we're talking about. We're observing and recognizing the reality of what we're facing here, because I think we can come to a point where you can talk about the spiritual obligations that we have and how we can make those practical in this physical world, in this three-dimensional world, how we can come together as a people with spiritual strength and spiritual authority.
Well, the spiritual opportunities for us to exist, the true spiritual opportunity has been so diluted and has been attacked in so many different ways through the people who are progenitors of destruction rather than those who are progenitors of creation, that it is nigh impossible, not completely, but it's a very difficult job. By that I mean there have been so many spiritual teachers, there have been so many people who have taken the evil of spirituality and they have manifested it as the way in which people should go spiritually. In fact, the biblical verse in the letter John in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 1, that clearly indicates or states that we ought to try the Spirit by the Spirit, because there are many spirits that have gone out into the earth, and because not every spirit is of God. John writes in the letter of John, chapter 4, verse 1. And I explain that in this way, that if you could imagine a maze of highways, or if you've ever been to Los Angeles and looked at all of the overpasses, all of the interstates, all of the various cloverleaf interchanges, where there are times when there are at least seven highways stacked upon one another, as within the L.A. area, or in mm-hmm. Beijing, for instance, or in New York. All of these are various highways going different ways, and you need to know where one originated and where it's going to end up and where it's taking you, but it also allows you to connect with a lot of others. That is where we are spiritually. There's a maze of spirituality all over the place and growing every day. And because it is spiritual, immediately people think that it is spiritually good. they don't discern that it is spiritually evil. Anything that is spiritual, and the first response to the blind person or to the unlearned, if you will, person, or the neophyte in spirituality is that it is good. I see a lot of this in the church. I mean, there are dark spirits that walk into the church or establish various churches. I mean, you look across the spectrum of these various churches and religions that are operating in America or around the world. They're, for the most part, 99% of them are all evil. They have their evil beginning and evil ending, but because it's spiritual, people are unable to make the leap in an elementary way or to discover that we're just worshiping an evil. Having said all of that, the what these spirits ultimately do is that they bring destruction, and referencing all the various laws, that 23 million, I won't argue how many laws man has made, but ultimately what man does is that he destroys. He does not create. And if you're looking at a spirit that does not bring creation, but ultimately brings destruction, that is one way to determine, or perhaps the ultimate way to determine, that this is a spirit of evil. Because the Spirit of God is a spirit of creation, a spirit of bringing of life, a spirit of bringing of joy in a sense that most people would never be able to interpret. But God is the creator. And it's a very basic, if you will, elementary point of view. God created the earth. The devil came in to destroy everything. That's as simple as that can be.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets worked out in a way, in the way away from creation, away from the Garden of Eden, where we are at present, where we've got all this spiritual of the devil bringing destruction, wars, disease, fighting, and all of the various races, one against the other. All of the hatred within communities like Harlem, the shootings, the stabbings, that's all very obvious spiritually implied evil. And another thing that I certainly will not have time to discuss here tonight, but when you look at what happens, let's take a place, city like Chicago, which is the hub of evil. You got to know that there's a spirit over that particular place. They just don't take the world's championship of cities as the most evil place on the planet. I mean, you got Detroit's evil, you know, you got Miami's evil, and the other place, Philadelphia, New York, but Detroit has maintained because of the input of spiritual evil. But the final thing I want to say is that, which is an interesting question to be raised regarding Obama, to be, for now what they're doing is that they're attaching to him an African identity, because within the black people there is a spirit, Don. There is a spirit of destruction within the black people that is not discussed, and if discussed, then you're called a racist, but certainly needs to be brought to light. There is not a lot of creativity within the spirit of black people. Black people excel not in the area of creation or creativity or the rebuilding or the replenishing of the earth. If you look at the continent of Africa itself, there's not a lot of building there as opposed to New York City or Chicago or L.A. or some of the other cities that where building and creativity and creation goes on. But then you can put black people in the community and they will destroy it. I'm opening up something that I have to get off the line now. I will not be able to stay on any longer. I have several appointments early. It's going, what's it, 2:00 here in New York now?
Just about, yeah. I'm wondering if we can have you on again, because I would love to continue this discussion in greater depth.
Yeah, I will come on again without a doubt. And if I did not have these early morning, I have been doing more interviews, and we're in the middle of a celebration. I've got, and of course, I do my own broadcast every day, and it's just a real tight schedule for me right now. But give me another invitation. You know how to do that. And I'll be delighted to come on.
Okay. I really want to get to the heart of this matter, and I know we're just scratching the surface, but I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints, and I want to thank you on behalf of the many millions of fans you have around the world who have been listening to your radio show, your sermons, your YouTube videos, which are basically We call them rants, okay? You get that Holy Ghost-filled rant. And I'd like you to share your nickname of the usurper with the listening audience.
Yeah, I call him the long-legged Mac Daddy, and that phrase is more well-known than I am. I was down in Washington this weekend with the Tea Party group, which was quite dismal, but that hadn't been said. The name Long-Legged Mac Daddy is instantly recognized by anybody who's been around America.
Yes. And I got
Daddy,
permission from you to use that term.
Okay, sure. Use it anytime you want.
Okay.
I want to see it grow even further.
Before you leave us, Pastor Manning, would you give out your website and any pertinent information you'd like our listeners to know so they can tune into your show and find out more about the work you're doing?
Our website is atlah.org. That's ATLAH.org. Again, ATLAH.org. And once you go there, nearly everything you need to know about us is there somewhere on that site. But specifically, I would want to invite people to be a part of our daily broadcast that happens Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon to 3 p.m. daily. Monday through Friday. I'd want to encourage people to be a part of that if they so choose to do so. You've been on that our broadcast a couple of times now.
Yeah.
During that time frame, and I appreciate your opportunity to have me give that out on your broadcast. But please, I encourage people to come to our website and try to see what we're doing, and whatever way they can be supportive of that, I would appreciate that greatly, because we're in a great battle. There's no doubt about it. I've determined this is the greatest battle this nation has ever faced. And whatever way people who recognize the truth and want to see the victory won by those of us who want to sustain this nation and sustain the word and the principles of Almighty God, please help in whatever way you can.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I look forward to your next interview. Please extend my warmest regards for your wife, Elder Elizabeth Manning, and your engineer, Isaiah. He and I are becoming good friends.
I will certainly do that.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show, Pastor. And I wish you luck, and I look forward to your next appearance on the show. God be with you. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Pastor James David Manning, Ph.D. I urge you, go to his website, atlah.org. That's ATLAH.org. Check it out. Listen to the Manning Report. It airs from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. Also, I would like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for carrying this broadcast, and blogtalkradio.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night or day filled with peace, love, and light for yous in the States. Have a good night.